We're back with Leslie Nichols and Leanne Schliessman, district nurse with the Gunnison Watershed School District. Leanne, I'm so sorry for pronouncing your name incorrectly for the first half of this show, but I will make sure to pronounce it correctly for the second half of the show. And I wanted to ask a question of you. And this is a question actually that we did that we asked in our original show about education and COVID-19 impacts. But things like masks, social distancing, hand washing, we're still seeing adults having a hard time following these guidelines. As a district nurse, Leanne, how do you get kids to follow these guidelines?
Well, that's a difficult question because I think kids will definitely do what they want. And sometimes you don't have control over that. But for me, I think it all starts with leading by example. I know if you go around preaching that you have to wear a face mask all day, but I myself am not leading that example, that's just kind of backwards. So first and foremost, I make sure that I'm following all these protocols with social distancing and wearing masks. And then a lot of times I don't think people break the rules advertently, that it's more of just they were unaware of what the specific guidelines were, or they just haven't been in a building with people for a really long time and they are talking face to face like they used to last year and they just forgot. So just finding a way to reiterate over and over again what our expectations are until I'm blue in the face. But that's totally fine because I think people are good and that they try to follow the rules. And if it means that we can be in person and teaching these kids and giving them the life lessons they really need, I mean, every teacher goes into academia to provide that for students. So I don't see them wanting to sabotage. But yeah, I think kids will follow their leaders for sure.
Okay, Leslie, I got a question in regards to masks and hand washing and all of it. Are students going to get detention for not wearing their masks?
Great question, Chris. I will say that the entire behavioral approach that we have falls under the umbrella of our positive behavior intervention support programs in Crested Butte, Seek the Peak, at Community School in Gunnison, the Mustang Way. At the high school in Gunnison, Cowboy Up. And so we have this entire approach and strategy for just a myriad of behaviors. And we manage challenges around behaviors all the time. Dress code comes to mind, the hat rule comes to mind. These are things that we've been managing for ages and have found successful strategies. It doesn't mean that these problems don't continue to arise. And we've talked about how compliance with the mask rules and everything else could be challenging in different ways for different kids at different times. But because we have an entire context of how we promote positive behavior, how we teach it explicitly, how we practice it, how we educate about it when things aren't going the way that we need them to go. And then kind of as a last resort, if we have to have disciplinary consequences, then we'll consider that. But it's definitely not our first go-to for how we work to create a culture and a system where the behaviors we're looking for are just expected and kind of how everybody falls in the line. That's the hope.
Great. Well, I'm going to pivot a little bit because we've heard reports that there's been increased interest in perhaps second homeowners staying around a little longer, enrolling their kids in our school system. I guess a couple questions I have is, first, is that true? And what kind of numbers are you looking at? And how does the school system absorb additional numbers, especially when we're pretty much at capacity at the north end of the valley?
Yeah, for sure. We have had an increase in inquiries and enrollments over the summer. We would typically have about 30 new enrollments. That does get balanced with the typical number of withdrawals over a summer. People move out as well as moving in. And we're up around 50 across the grade levels at the Crested Butte School so far. And that, how that's all balancing out is interesting because in addition to our school-based blended learning option for students this year, where we are starting at 100% brick and mortar on Wednesday, August 26th, whoop, whoop. We do also offer 100% pathways, 100% online pathways program. Mm-hmm. And across the district, we have about 8% of our student population, around 170 students, give or take, mm-hmm. who have opted in that direction. And the increase in enrollment in Crested Butte has been tempered a bit by the pathways enrollment. And we won't have final numbers till we have final numbers. And I hope, I don't know, even in a few more days this week that we'll be closer to hitting the mark on that. But so far, because both the Pathways interest and the new enrollees have been really evenly spread from K through 12, and for Pathways, it's been very even up and down Valley, both and across grade levels, it's kind of balancing out on its own. And so while it remains a fact that we are over capacity in our Crested Butte school, we are able to manage with the spaces that we have. And because the enrollees and the balance by the Pathways and that sort of thing are really evenly spread, we're not hitting any just super hot points in space facility problems. Broadly, it's a problem. We are over capacity and we need to eventually pass it on to expand our facilities, north and south ends of the valley, both improve them, expand them, what have you. But I think we're sitting okay as of today heading into the year. So
is that additional per pupil revenue going to help with that?
Oh, no, well, no, the additional per pupil revenue will help us pay our bills this year, but it does not really even begin to touch the facility expansion and improvement needs that we have.
Christopher, what do you have?
I'm glad that you brought up Pathways. I know, again, from going back through and watching videos of the virtual events that you had with parents, that there were a number of people that were bringing up concerns just over Pathways option lacking a certain quality. I also saw that in your back to school goals, you really put a hard emphasis on the in-person class. At any point, did you reconsider expanding options for online learning? I sort of have a follow-up question, but did you ever think that possibly putting so much emphasis on in-class learning as opposed to developing other methods to satisfy certain students that would want an out-of-classroom experience? Did you ever consider that, Leslie?
Sure. Yeah, we've considered all sorts of things, but really have landed in what we've known for decades in education, and that's that education does happen best in person, where relationships are formed between teachers and students, among students and their peers, where learning can be socially constructed with other humans together, discovering what's great about their curiosities and new information that's being presented to them. And we stand firmly in that belief. It's not that we made it up. It's just what the research stacks up towards. That said, we do very much support, we have since 2016, our Pathways program that allows us the flexibility to offer classes that our high schools, both in Crested Butte and Gunnison, are not able to offer by filling in, you know, maybe a language class in German that we don't offer, or other electives, or there can be a credit recovery if students need that, where they haven't passed a class the first time they've taken it, or if their schedule just doesn't allow the one class that's required for graduation, Pathways has been an option. And from the beginning, that program has been grounded again in that belief that relationships are critical for students to be successful in their learning. And we provide case managers. Typically it's in person, where students have met with their case managers who are licensed teachers. They are employees of the Gunnison Watershed School District. That is not the case across the board in many districts who provide online learning, but we have not wavered from that priority in our Pathways programming. And so typically that's been an in-person relationship. That's still an option this year for families who are choosing the Pathways option, but we are also, of course, offering it fully remote, where all the meetings with case managers happen via video conferencing or phone calls or emails or all of the above. And we have expanded our high school program now to include middle school and then all the way down to kindergarten as well.
Sure. And specifically, the group of students that I was thinking of that might be more willing to do a Pathways program are students that might have existing health conditions that would possibly lead to a more severe case of COVID-19. First of all, do you see that trend? Do you see those students taking that Pathways option more? And then, tell us more about those students. What are you doing to What else could be done to keep them safe? And we are coming up against our time. We have a listener question that we want to answer, but we have about 2 minutes.
Okay, great. We absolutely are accommodating for families whose students have medical needs that put them at higher risk for COVID, or family members themselves who may be at higher risk and they're not comfortable sending their children to school. And that's what that option is all about. And that's definitely the population who's been taking advantage of it to some degree. Some people are just more comfortable with that generally without a particular risk factor pushing them in that direction. And we absolutely support that. We'll do all we can to make that the highest quality learning experience possible.
Leanne, did you want to add to that at all?
I think for those families or kiddos who are opting for the online due to medical concerns, I think it's also just important that they continue to receive the medical care that they need, because we won't be seeing them in person to, you know, check on their asthma or their diabetes care. So it's just, it puts in my mind the importance of still checking in with these families, seeing what they need medically, and if they have the resources they need at home.
Sure. Great. You're listening to KBUT Community Matters. We have one listener submitted question here, and then we will be turning the airwaves on over to a special edition of Alpenglow in a Box. And this is relating to student population. What is your anticipated student teacher ratio in the classrooms this school year?
Good question.
Oh, goodness. I haven't calculated that as an average this year. For our elementary classrooms, we are staying well within the guidelines that we've identified in policy, which is kindergarten is 19, first grade 21, and then it goes up from there to fifth grade at 24. Oh, I hope I'm hitting those right. I'm close if I'm not. And then in our middle and high school programs, we have just a range because it varies so much based on enrollment. We have some sections at 27 in our high schools right now, and some are, you know, really small, depending on the class, as few as 10 or even fewer sometimes. But I think typically we're in the low 20s across our secondary programs.
Great. Thank you so much to Leslie Nichols and Leanne Schliessman for joining us this evening for this special half hour broadcast of Community Matters. We so appreciate you both being here with us to have this important conversation.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Christopher. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
And as always, thanks to my co-host, Chris Rourke. Thank you so much for being with me on an off week, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Keep it tuned to KBUT. Alpenglow in a Box is next. Next week on Community Matters, we'll be discussing public lands and people. Plus, we'll get an update on Cattlemen's Days. You can find out more at kbut.org. Again, my name is Christopher Biddle. Thanks for joining us tonight.